He's Jeffrey Cooperstein at JRCoop27.
At JCoopJR27.
Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Saturday, November 17th. College football abound. Plenty of games happening as we speak. Not very many good games out there today as the SEC decides to take the week off.
Yes.
But without further ado, I am Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside my good friend and co-host Chris Gross. Chris, what's going on, dude?
Things are good, and actually, I'm going to take your last comment and lead that into our conversation today.
Okay.
I just want to talk about why the College Football Playoff Committee, why I think they're a fraud. And it kind of goes along with what you just said. The SEC, they will always do this. They will always take a week.
And it won't matter.
Towards the end of the season, where they will play absolute cupcakes. You'll get like a fun half like Alabama had where the Citadel kept it tied, but that's about as far as you get.
As we're sitting here right now, I'm watching my second favorite team, Florida, beating Idaho 56-3, and it was 49-0 at halftime. So they've started the true freshman quarterback in the second half and are taking the half off.
This is not fun, and it goes to my conversation about the committee, and we'll get back to it later. But, dude, to me, I never thought I would want to go back to the BCS system, and I don't think I'm there yet, but I am much closer to going back to that than I ever thought I would with a playoff committee. I hate the committee. The things they do, they make no sense. First of all, here's what I think they do, honestly, my conspiracy theory. They put the teams that they want reasonably where you can put them, and then they find the argument to fit where
no
they
doubt.
Place them.
No doubt. That's how it's been since 2014, since this whole thing started.
And you have different criteria that you want for different teams, where you'll get a team that is winning, they're undefeated, like a Notre Dame, but you don't extend that same courtesy to a UCF who sits at number 11. For some teams, winning all your games matters. And for some teams, like UCF, well, you don't play a good enough schedule. Well, let's look at what Alabama's done.
Here's what we need to call it. We need to call this the Power 5 playoff.
Yes.
Because no team outside of the Power 5 is ever going to make the playoff under this current format, which is why I'm an advocate of expanding this. I know you're not, but I'm an advocate of expanding this to 16. And we've talked about it before, where I think at the start of the season, no matter how minuscule, you should have a chance to play for the national championship. And so if you win your conference, if you win the MAC, you should be in some sort of a playoff, Division I playoff.
I agree, and here's where I would go. I've kind of changed my perspective since the beginning of the season. I think we need at least 8
Absolutely.
Teams.
Eight would be the minimum.
You guarantee your Power 5 conference champion a spot. And what we do, you know what? Give the best Group of 5
yes,
team a spot.
Yes, the highest ranked Group of 5 team.
And you don't even have to go undefeated. I know some people have said, well, you go undefeated, you're guaranteed a spot. You know what? I don't care if you're going to get trounced if you lose 56-0 to Alabama in the first round. What you said is the exact point.
Yep.
There should not be any team in any sport ever that goes into the season and says, no matter what I do, I will never play for the national championship. There is something fundamentally flawed about the reality there.
That's how it's been. Even under the BCS system, that's how it was. When Utah and Alex Smith and Urban Meyer went undefeated, they were left out of the national championship game. It is what it is. TCU in the Mountain West, they probably were one of the two best teams in the country. They were left out.
Ended the season ranked number 2 after the Rose Bowl win.
It is what it is.
That's why I'm in favor of a playoff, because you're not sucked down to 2 teams where at least the teams on the outside have a chance to make a play at something. But here's the other thing about the committee that makes no sense to me. I am under the impression that the committee, each week you kind of do a reset. Like, you'll look at where the team was last week, but you don't go, okay, Alabama was number 1 last week, so what they do this week
makes them number 4.
Yes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So how has nothing changed from the previous week's rankings? The top 10 stayed exactly the same, which to me says that everyone in the top 10 had a win of equal importance. which is not the case.
It's not.
Ohio State, your number 10 ranked team, went on the road, beat a ranked opponent by 20 points, made that opponent look foolish. You stayed the same.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and the committee, they have these rankings, and it's a different reason every week to try to justify it. There's no set rules, a set standard to rank teams, and they're always trying to fit the narrative or however you want to say that. And I think it's a problem, and I think that's why they need expansion. I don't know if expansion will happen is the problem, because I think that the Power Five is probably, for some reason, pretty happy with this. They're getting a lot of money in their pockets.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the thing, too, where none of the Power Five commissioners or athletic directors are going to agree to losing a spot for a group of five teams.
Absolutely.
But
they might add a spot.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I think you need expansion. You'll never be able, especially like the Big 12 commissioner, where you've only had a team in two of the years, I believe.
Yes.
You've gotten Oklahoma in twice. You're never going to convince Bowlesby that, hey, we know you guys haven't made it in every year, not as much as you would want to, but let's nudge some room out for a group of five teams.
No.
It's never going to happen.
Absolutely not.
And so that's why you have to expand. And I think also with expanding, you have to add in new rules, new guidelines for certain teams. This is Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooper. Oh, man, I'm
Jeffrey Steen.
Man, I'm so hot about the committee. I forgot your name. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross.
Real quick, can I break in here with the score update?
Yes.
The Fighting Maryland Terrapins are up 31-24 on Ohio State at the end of the third quarter. And you know, if you sleep on Maryland, they're going to beat you.
That is coming from a Texas fan. That is absolutely true. Maryland's going to end this season like with a couple good wins hang on here.
It's very frustrating. We're talking about Maryland football here. Wow.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating because Maryland has been close to winning a lot of games and they haven't. And of course, they just beat Texas before Texas figured it out. And it's annoying. But as I digress.
Yes. Yeah, so Maryland up early or up late in that one. They took the lead early. And you've had a great game from Anthony McFarland there. But let's talk about the rules that need to be implemented for this committee. You have to start setting set guidelines that every team must follow. And let's talk about the SEC on this weekend. I think this is the perfect time to talk about this. The SEC will play their cupcake weekend, where you take a week off from conference play. You'll schedule an FCS team. And basically, it's like a tune-up for your final game.
Your rivalry game.
Yes, and getting ready for the conference championship game, if that's where you're headed.
Are you saying that Missouri-Tennessee on CBS with Gary Danielson and Brad Nessler is not a primary matchup?
I think that is like your exception. You've got Alabama playing the Citadel. A&M is home against UAB. Now, that is sneakily a better matchup.
It's turned into a good game. UAB is ranked in the coaches' poll.
And they undefeated, or one loss, I believe. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
One loss at most. That was a team who didn't even have a football program 2 years ago.
And do you know how much A&M is paying them for this game?
Tell me.
$1.6 million.
See, this, and you know what? I'm not even going to criticize the SEC about this. This is the committee's fault. The committee doesn't say you have to play 9 conference games. So for teams like any team in the Big 12, the Big 10, who do play 9 conference games, you're stupid. You're stupid.
100%.
The committee doesn't punish you for only playing 8 conference games.
All Power 5 teams under this format should play an FCS team.
And that, to me, is where I have one of my biggest beefs with the committee. The committee, yes, it should be about getting the best teams in, but the committee should also put an emphasis on creating the best product.
100%.
This is not the best product.
Well,
56-3, no one wants to watch this crap.
And it was 49-0 at halftime. Here's the thing. I think when they first created this college football playoff system, they thought that strength of schedule, that was going to be an emphasis, they thought people were going to eliminate playing this FCS game. But as it turns out, it doesn't matter because if you win all your games, you're in anyways.
And I think part of the issue is Alabama. And I wonder how things would be different if our perennial powerhouse in college football since before the committee was founded, if it wasn't Alabama, if it was a team like a Big 12 team or a Michigan or somebody, but you can't come down on Alabama right now.
Right.
You can't punish Alabama, and by lieu of that, you can't attack the strength of schedule not playing those nine conference games. And so we've kind of waded into these murky waters where, look, Alabama, clearly the best team. There's no questioning. They've shown recently they can be beaten. But if they play their game, no one is beating them right now. I might need to even take them to beat the Bills on a...
You would take them to beat the Bills?
No, that's, I wouldn't.
We talked about this earlier. We saw that line 28.5.
I would pick Alabama to cover.
I think I'd consider Alabama covering.
Yes,
on that.
I would. But we've got to get rid of this. You've got to make a set schedule for everybody. And the first thing you do, once you expand the playoff, look, when you expand the playoff, your non-conference becomes all that less important.
Absolutely.
Because then teams are only focusing on those conference games.
B-Way, I think this is solved. I think if you're a Power 5 team, you have to play 11 Power 5 teams. You can have your one Group of 5 game. But
so
I
you
think
eliminate all FCS games?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't. And while I know it's a big revenue stream for the FCS schools, and it's great that these FCS schools get their, get their programs funded. It's the level of competition. Alabama needs to be playing, even if it's a mid-tier Power 5, like Maryland. Haha.
Yeah.
They need to be playing those games just to make it fair.
And I'm 100% with you. You require 11 group or Power 5 games. You get nine. You have to play nine conference games, and you play two out of your conference. And look, this is now if I approach that and they say, look, we just can't get rid of these FCS games, teams will go defunct. You know what? I agree to that. But on the other hand, I say, that's fine. That's your one non-Power 5 school right there. And I'll keep the FCS if it means SEC. You're now playing nine conference games. And look, I'm not saying let's use your school, for example, Texas. I'm not saying you need to go out and schedule a Alabama.
Which they have.
Or a Clemson every year. You know what? If you're a team, and this isn't Texas, Kansas. You don't have to schedule Alabama.
They played Rutgers
this
year.
Grab a Rutgers. Yeah. Grab an Illinois, an Oregon State. That's Power 5. That, to me, brings intrigue.
Absolutely.
Kansas playing whoever, directional, Kansas, whatever. I don't care.
Now, real quickly, I mentioned this on Twitter earlier this morning. If Alabama somehow, someway, miraculously were to lose this game to the Citadel and they won the SEC championship, would they be in the playoff?
Absolutely.
I think they would.
Absolutely. I think they would. The committee, I'll tell you this, the committee would find a way to pump up the Citadel as much
Absolutely.
As possible.
Absolutely. No
the,
doubt.
The Citadel no doubt. Would... They would find a way to get them into like the rankings. An FCS school, they're gonna find a way. There's just the idea of the committee at the time was a great idea. I still think it's great, but we've got flaws.
I think that they need to get more football people on the committee.
Yeah,
like with all due respect to Condoleezza Rice, she's a politician. She's not a football person. And it's not just her. I mean, there's multiple people on that committee that are not football people. And I think if there were more football people on this committee, it would go in the right direction.
Yeah.
But they still have fundamental flaws with the system.
The system is flawed, and I don't think we're past the point of fixing it. I think you can turn things around and create a 8-team committee that values, look, I don't care what you do with how many teams. The next change that comes, you have to put emphasis on strength of schedule.
100%.
That has to be the first thing you do.
I mean, it's like beating a dead horse, but like we said earlier, that was one of the things they wanted to emphasize, and it just hadn't worked out. If they're going to make changes at the end of this season, which I don't think they are, it needs to be expanding to at least 8.
Yeah.
And emphasizing strength of schedule, making everyone play 11 Power 5s. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would be the direction I'd go in.
I think even before you require more, look, I think next year you say, We are putting a heavy emphasis on strength of schedule. And guess what? That fixes your UCF issue. You don't have to worry about UCF anymore. That fixes this issue of, then you will start to get SEC schools that say, you know what, maybe we need to add another conference game. Maybe we need to drop this cupcake week.
Well, and another problem with that is, I mean, these schools are scheduling games, what, 7, 8 years in advance?
Yeah.
Even 10 years in advance. I think Texas has games scheduled for like 2030 and stuff like that.
And that is why you have to get on it now.
Absolutely.
Because you won't, if I decided tomorrow I was going to put an emphasis on strength of schedule and know the results that were coming, you realistically couldn't hold teams to that for, like you said, about 12 years.
Yeah.
Because teams have, you already have like your schedule set for the next 3 or 4, and you know matchups you have. I can't remember who it was this week. I'm pretty sure I saw home and home announced that was 2029, 2030.
That was Texas and Georgia, yeah.
Okay. It was.
Yeah.
So that's why you have to make the change now. If you wait until 2029 to make a difference, it's going to be 2040 before we actually see the committee start getting things right.
And
I don't want
to
wait that long.
100%.
Gosh, man. Like I said, we'll wrap it up with this. I love the idea of the committee. Their
execution
is very flawed.
Right.
The execution is very flawed. So he's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. That is Can I Get a Podcast? We're going to close things out like we always do, Jeffrey. It is the 24-second shot clock. Here's how it works. You get 24 seconds on the clock to talk about whatever you want. It doesn't even have to be sports related. But when you hear that buzzer go off, your 24 seconds are up, you got to stop talking. And Jeffrey, we'll go to you first here. Your 24 seconds begin now.
This is a culture-defining game for Tom Herman and the Texas Longhorns tonight against Iowa State. If they win this game, they have a chance to get to 10 wins and really build on that. 10's a really nice round number. Iowa State's a really tough opponent. It's at home. They need to win this game in order to further the Texas program. If they don't win, people will be left wanting something more. And I think this is a really, really big game for Tom Herman and Texas.
A game you can watch on the Longhorn Network.
Longhorn Network, baby. Lowell Galindo on the mic. I don't think it will be a biased announcing team.
Who's calling the game? Do you know?
It is. It's Lowell Galindo and Ahmad. It's either Rod Babers or Ahmad Brooks, who was a Texas graduate and a former Texas football player.
Is Vince Young still involved with the Longhorn Network?
He's not involved with the network, but he is involved with the school. He is employed by the school as the university ambassador.
Let's move on to my 24 seconds. I just want to say college basketball is back.
Yes, sir.
And I'm so happy. I just randomly this week tuned into Michigan Villanova. Dude, Michigan looks good.
They look good. They beat Villanova really bad.
They smacked them. Yeah. That was like, I can't remember exactly. It might have been the worst floor under Jay Wright's tenure at home. But college basketball is back. TCU poised for a good season. Started the season in the rankings. Just excited for college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to do it for the show today. Remember, a couple ways you can listen to us, KESN1033.com. Click on podcast at the top. There you can find all our old episodes. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Please leave that five star rating. Leave us a review. We'll read it on the podcast. Jeffrey, but that can only go so much. How else do people need to spread the word?
The best way to spread a podcast, Chris, is by word of mouth. So you need to tell your friends, you need to tell your family, you need to tell your coworkers, you need to tell the person in the car next to you on your morning commute.
Yep.
And Chris, who is the most important person?
Tell your ex-wife.
Yes.
Tell the ex-wives. You got to tell the ex-wives. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein, JCoopJR27 on Twitter. I'm Chris Gross. Chris is Gross. Chris spelled with a K. You can find us on Twitter there. Let us know your thoughts on the committee. Also, let us know what you think of Michael Dixon. That is Can I Get a Podcast?
Okay, thanks.